A woman charged in the child's death. A Middell teacher accused of sending nude photos to a student then blackmailed her. Investigators released a motive. A deadly shooting in Ozark, Missouri. The town square.
This is True Crime Today.
Not only a tragedy for the family.
It's unfathomable.
Shot to death more than half a dozen times, likely with a shotgun by his own mother.
True Crime Today.
Said he then drove her body in her van about 5 miles away.
Police say she put her newborn in a trash bag and threw the baby over an upstairs banister.
A podcast that examines real stories in real time.
Disturbing.
He says she asked him to help her end her life.
True Crime Today. Starts now.
Indeed it does. Welcome to the program. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts as well. We greatly appreciate that support. Tony and Carol Hughes with you on today's episode of True Crime Today. What's going on?
Hey friend, how's it going?
It's going. And you?
So I got kind of an asshole type of person in the week.
Oh, you do?
And I'm not sure what's every week they kind of take on a different name.
Yeah.
It could be asshole of the week, dick of the week.
And I have no idea even who this is this week. You haven't even told me this one, so.
I know. You never know what they are.
What kind of music?
Whip it out on you.
What kind of music? You kind of whip it out.
It's like, here it is. Ooh, boop.
You kind of R. Kelly it on me. And right? Okay, so what type of music should I play for this one? The dark.
Something super gay?
What does that even mean?
I don't know. Maybe Madonna or something. Some little like True Colors by Cyndi Lauper or something.
I'll go with just like kind of this music like this here today.
Okay. Doesn't totally fit. That's fine. But so this is from Newsweek, actually. So there's a pastor who a week after saying he wouldn't apologize for using homophobic slurs in his sermons, Texas pastor Jonathan Shelley, the leader of the anti-gay Steadfast Baptist Church, that's why I wanted you to be gay,
yeah,
said in a city council meeting that Pride Month is an abomination, that shouldn't be promoted in the community because, you know, that's how gay spreads.
Yes, it's just like one day you're like completely straight. And you're like, oh shit!
And
like
then it was gay pride. They're having and you're that. Like, shit, I'm gay.
Oh my god! I was at the parade and they gave me a thing of bazooka gum, and suddenly I'm like, I want to suck a cock. Like, right. No, that's not and how so, it works.
Because you're like, oh my god, didn't know I was gay till I saw the parade.
You're born this way or that way, and we love you either way until you deal with these motherfuckers. This guy
is like, he was pissed off. And he went to the Arlington, I'm assuming Texas City Council, where a meeting was being held about acknowledging Pride Month, telling them that he's horrified and ashamed, quotes, that the city decided to, quote, promote and solicit pride. I don't know what you do by soliciting pride. Makes it sound like you're on a street corner paying for pride. Then he continued amid loud boos, saying there's nothing to celebrate about pride. And that, in fact, it's an abomination according to the Bible.
Yeah.
According to God, this is quote, according to God, we should hate pride, not celebrating it. Now, I really don't think anywhere in the Bible God said we should hate pride.
I don't believe it's a verse anywhere. I don't think it was ever like,
I don't understand why we celebrate what used to be a crime not long ago. God has already ruled that murder, adultery, witchcraft, rape, bestiality, and homosexuality are. Here's the part that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Like all the other shit doesn't. But those are crimes worthy of capital punishment.
No, actually in the Bible, it's nowhere in the commandments whatsoever. And if you actually go, this is my argument. And if people, because here's the thing. Everybody loves to like talk about their history. It's like, well, in the Bible, it says this or that. Well, okay, yes. But you understand there was a translation 500 different times. And you're basing it on the King James Version. And the thing is, you go a little bit deeper. You know, you kind of dig, which we actually amazingly have the ability to do now more than ever before. And we can actually see what these scriptures and things said prior to that translation. And you know what it actually fucking says? It talks about someone molesting children. And then for the time when it was translated, they made it into homosexuality. They took it a step way too far and then basically said gay is a sin. No, the original, if you go back to the Latin of it, talks about a man laying with a boy, which of course is fucked in the head. But at the time, that was kind of a big thing.
And this son of a bitch goes on to say that the LGBTQ community, quote, hates children, hates Baptists, hates Christianity, and hates God.
I could not have actually met in my life.
Tell that to my gay preacher friend.
I could not have met some of the most kind.
And then he wants to eliminate pride altogether.
Insane.
Some people are heard clapping. Others are heard jeering at the end of the meeting.
It's fucking insane.
I mean,
I in my life,
that's what pisses me off. The other day I saw something on Facebook and I can't remember what it was about, something about gay pride and it was local. It might've been a TV station or something. I don't remember what it was. I'd hate to be in news.
Yeah.
These days. But I can't remember what it was. But anyway, they did a post about Gay Pride Month. And so all these people were like, what about Straight Pride Month? And I'm like, you know what? Y'all have never had to overcome some shit.
Exactly.
You've always just been able to. And I'm straight. But I'm like, to me, it doesn't matter if you're gay, if you're straight, if you love someone, you love someone. And because you love someone who's the same sex does not mean you are going to love a goat. You know, it's like, that's where they go.
I know.
And I'm like, that pisses me off. And so I'm like, the fact that someone finds love in this world is hard enough. But to me.
But here's what I do find fucked up. In this whole thing where it does kind of feel like there's more extreme sects of things that are now trying to just tack themselves basically onto this community going, let's staple me to this too. And it's like, this is not what they fought for. This is, you're a little bit off on this. This is not quite what they were saying. And it's like, well, okay. I don't know. It's like sometimes I feel like it degrades all of the progress that's been made in such a powerful way, when then you have things like that, like the goat shit, where it's like, I want a letter in that too. Like, no, this is different, very different, very different.
Usually when you hear that, it's like somebody like him saying, well, what's next? Now you can marry a goat?
Not always. I mean, that you used to hear it like that, and I thought it was insane, but I am hearing it now legitimately. And it's like,
but that's not even what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about love is love.
Exactly. And,
you know, it's like to like, God hates, like, because you're gay, obviously you hate Baptists. I don't know why Baptists and not Methodists, but just Baptists.
Because why not?
Hate Baptists.
Yeah, just pick one. Yeah.
But, you know, it just, I don't know. The whole thing about, like, well, they should just die.
It's insane.
I mean, this shit pisses me off. And to me, it's like, it's not the same, you know, because you're straight, great. Mm-hmm. You haven't had to fight this uphill battle to just be in a relationship with someone you love. And so the fact that gay people have had to fight this battle and they've made some progress, they're not here to turn your kids gay.
It's no, like, I mean, it's one of the most insane things I've ever heard. But no, it's
so anyway, that guy, in fact, hold on just a second. Let me scroll back up. Let me get his actual name. Baptist preacher Jonathan Shelley is, I don't know, the dick of the week, the asshole of the week. I don't know. I don't like him.
Say asshole of the week.
Asshole of the week.
There we go. We got some nice echo there.
Okay, thanks.
Asshole of the week. Yeah, I mean, you could go on forever about people like that. But yeah, I mean, it's just, and I feel like.
Here's the thing. I tell you what, every time somebody like that speaks out too much, I'm like, it's because you're gay. And you don't want to admit to yourself or anyone else that you're gay.
It's typically anyone who speaks out about anything to an extreme level. I mean, there's plenty of us who are like, I'm totally against this, and I'm gonna be an activist for this or that.
But when you're like two years from now, has been having sex with teenage boys.
Exactly. When you're like to an insane level, and you're like almost violent about it, it's like, what's going on over here? And statistically, psychologically, this is not fucking rocket science to pick out when these things happen. And I don't know. I don't know why we pretend that it's like, oh, I'm so shocked. Like, look at these people. Like, these are the biggest ones that are like they're just so ashamed of themselves. And it's like, just stop. Just accept yourself who you are.
And very frequently, they hide behind religion.
Yeah, well, that's been the safe place forever. And for many people throughout their lives, if you look historically, just if you go back in time, I mean, it's only been the last 20 years where this has been like as open as we've been able to be. Prior to that, Ellen couldn't say she was gay on television 20 years ago. That's 20 years ago. So a lot of people like these preachers and stuff have been in doing this for 40, 50 years. So they've been very, very, I have to be over here. And they dig so deep. I mean, I think it like develops a whole other mental illness that just totally overtakes them at some point. And it's
I'm just going to tell you, I think Jonathan Shelley, this guy from the church in Arlington, I'm assuming, yeah. Texas. Let me see if it says at the top of this article. Does not. I'm going to guess he's gay.
I would guess anyone who's that, I mean, like they're Ted Haggards and shit like that. I mean, how many times have we seen this happen? Yeah, I'm basing it on facts. I'm basing it on stories. I'm basing it on reality. When we see people act out in certain ways, what is usually the reality of it? Mm-hmm. And that's what it tends to be. And that's fine.
There's so many people who have been religious leaders, Tammy and Jim Baker. Jim Baker's having an affair. I think Tammy probably had affairs. Yeah. There's so many of them who are really
public, very prominent,
very famous. And I think that a lot of that goes to their head too.
When you get that big. But I mean, there's people I know. I have a good friend who grew up with, went into the Catholic Church. Really just to be able to be away from people judging his sexuality. And he was not a pedophile or anything like that. He just wanted to kind of be away from all the judgment of everything. And he loved his religion, despite the fact that his religion half the time told him he was a horrible, evil person. He's still involved in that church, not the Roman Catholic anymore, but a different sect of it, because that's what he believes. And he loves it. And that's been his thing. But the whole time, it's been this battle of they're saying you're evil, you're horrible. But he's always been himself. And I didn't know it till years later. And I grew up with this guy. He's a good friend. And it's like, oh, my God, I feel horrible. Like, you've been persecuted this way. And, and he was afraid to tell he was afraid to tell me. And we were good friends forever. And it's like, but I get it. You go into hiding sometimes, and especially in that place in time. And this was a different time back then. This is 20 years ago. But now he's open about it. He's in a church that accepts him. And I believe he's actually a preacher there.
That makes me happy. Good for him.
Yeah, he's a great guy, but it's just, that's the fucked up world that we live in, where it's like, this didn't have to be this insane. We didn't have to damage this many people. Honestly, if I look at all the human beings I've interacted with in my life, some of the most honest, intriguing, and genuine people I've ever met, statistically, I guess I would say, have been gay.
This guy thinks that that's a crime worthy of capital punishment. Like, that's insane to me.
I mean, somebody who's very in touch with who they actually are and they're secure enough
but that guy thinks we should kill him.
We should kill him, yeah.
Because they're gay. Yeah.
That man can die in a car accident any day now. Here's a fun one. Everett woman charged in a child's death. This sounds horrible. This is from the Tribune Democrat out of Everett, Pennsylvania. An Everett woman was jailed Tuesday, accused of homicide in the choking death of a three-year-old boy, authorities said. Okay, this is something that we have to address too, because we have all this fear, and rightfully so, of crazy people going to schools and shit. But we have far more deaths statistically of degenerate parents killing their children every week, every day. There is tons of this shit going on. And it all goes down to mental illness. But yes, should we deal with the guns and all that? Yes, yes, we should find something with mental health and everything over there too. But it's just like we latch on to certain things over here and over there because they're more exciting, more newsworthy. But if you actually look at statistical numbers, it's like there's a much bigger problem over here. State police in Bedford charged Chelsea Renee Cooley, 31, with criminal homicide, endangering the welfare of children, aggravated assault, strangulation, simple assault, and reckless endangerment. According to the complaint affidavit, Cooley told troopers on Saturday she put the boy to bed at 7:30 p.m., after he would not eat lunch or dinner. Cooley said she found the boy unresponsive at 8:30 p.m. with what appeared to be baby wipes stuck in his throat. The child was taken to UPMC Bedford after EMS personnel used long forceps to remove four baby wipes in the child's throat, police said. Raytown's EMS medic told troopers that the wipes were so far down the child's throat, the boy would not have been able to do it himself, the affidavit said. Child allegedly had marks on his neck and around his mouth. Cooley cannot account for the 25 minutes that elapsed between the time she found her child unresponsive when she called 911, the affidavit said. The boy was airlifted to UPMC Children's Hospital in Pittsburgh, where he died on Sunday. Dr. Todd Lusiak said at Allegheny County Medical Examiner's Office in Pittsburgh found marks on the boy's upper chest and neck that were consistent with being caused by an adult hand, the affidavit said. An autopsy ruled the death was homicide by manual strangulation and asphyxiation due to airway obstruction, the affidavit said. Cooley was arraigned by District Judge Tanya Osman and sent to Bedford County Correctional Facility without bond. So, there you go. Another fine product.
It's so incredibly sad.
Another fine product of us raising sociopaths over the last 20 years. Because that's essentially what we've done. When we tell everybody that we're all, you know, everybody's good, everything's okay, anything you do is good, you are obsessed with yourself, that's great, you know, love yourself more than anything else and don't care about anybody else. And then they suddenly have children, like, well, I'm not going to do this, and it doesn't feel good.
And, you know, it's so hard to tell, too, with that person and what has gone on.
Yeah, there's that,
too. But it's like, I don't know what led you to that point, but whatever led you to that point is so fucked up, because that's not okay.
This is a direct reflection of the consistency of this is just a direct reflection of how we've raised people over the last 20 years. We've raised, we've created a land of sociopaths.
But that person could have been raised perfectly fine and then started doing drugs or whatever.
Sure, that could happen too. But just like, just in the confines of not doing drugs, in the confines of just what we want you to believe about yourself and this and that. When someone's met with adversity or something that you're not comfortable with, people, many can handle it, but far too many cannot, to an extreme. And I think we're dealing with far more of that than we ever have in the past. Has there always been that?
I'm going to just say, I think that's really hard to know, because you don't know what led up to that. But it's just, there's so many things wrong. There's just so many things wrong with that.
It seems like everything's right there.
There's no answer.
No, there isn't.
You know, it's like there's an innocent child.
No, their
child is innocent and didn't deserve that.
There is no real answer to any of this. I mean, it's, you can call out what's wrong. It's easy to call out what's wrong, but how do you fix generations of people?
And I don't even know how you fix it.
That's the thing. How do you fix generations of people that are thinking one way and try and get them to believe a different way or act a different way when you've conditioned them one way or another. That's difficult on a good day for somebody. And the success rate's not great on someone who really wants to do it. I mean,
and I don't want to get all political and shit right now, but you know, there's a problem right now. Imagine I don't want to go there, but I don't think anyone wants to have an abortion. I don't want to like get into this big discussion.
Sure.
It's not like, hey, I want to sign up for that.
Does anybody go?
What my concern is that in this world right now, there's so many kids that aren't being cared for, that aren't being nurtured and loved. Yeah. And there's so many kids and little white babies get adopted. But what about the little brown babies that are addicted or little white babies that are addicted? And then there are 10-year-old kids that don't have places to live, you know,
or even just the many little brown babies and little black babies that are not addicted to anything. But we got to have the little white blonde.
Like, I hear stories like this, it really concerns me. Like what happens 2 years from now, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? You know, we're going to have, I don't know.
I'm
not saying that you sign up for abortions, everybody. That's not what I'm saying.
No.
But what I'm saying is that I do think there are going to be a lot of kids we can't care for.
Well, I'm not saying I have any stance either way. And I do believe no one wants to, nobody's like, I'm going to go have an abortion. I mean, are there some crazy fucking people? Sure. That's a fringe. That's the very fringe that are like, I don't care. I'll have an abortion.
As a woman, I really don't know that there's many people who are like, hey, sign me up for that.
I very, 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 very few. It's
but there
not
are also
the
men
norm.
Involved in this situation.
Yes, but my
so it's
point,
not just like women are going, sign me up for that. There's a guy who got him pregnant.
No, but what I want to point out, and this is just, this is not my opinion. This is a statistical fact. If you look at when Roe v. Wade went into effect and you averaged about 18 years later in major cities, crime dropped drastically. It was, and this sounds horrible. I'm not saying this is a great stat or anything, but it is a statistical fact. And you look at it, it's like, oh, well, it looks like a lot of people who didn't want to have these children could have the opportunity to stop it. And there were less children that were unwanted that then were basically treated like shit throughout their childhood and then went on to commit crimes because they were raised in places where they weren't wanted initially. And is that a reason to stop it? I don't know. But I'm just saying, statistically, that's an interesting little factoid, too, that we look at in history that we can prove and we can see. Again, not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying this is a stat that does exist. We've tried this before.
And here's what I want. I want every child born to be born into a loving home. And
well,
even
of course,
if the mom
but that's a very
gives
dream
a child
mom.
Up for adoption. Yeah. Then great. I want the child to be loved and nurtured and cared for. I don't want a child to ever go through what that child went through.
No, good luck with that.
Exactly.
That's the thing. It's like it doesn't
exist.
That's
what concerns me. And so I don't know where we go. I don't know. Before a whole bunch of people message me on Facebook or Instagram, I'm like, I'm not here to get into any arguments. I don't know the right solution. I just want children to be loved.
To me, it doesn't seem like that much rocket science with the amount of people who, when you say, you know, I can't have children, I'd love to have a child, and the hoops and
coming from
things,
a woman who can't have kids or never, have kids
that people go through to that are qualified, great people that could raise children. And it takes years and years and years to fucking match them up. And yet every day we have children left and right that are not wanted, that go into horrible households that we know are going into fucking horrible abusive homes, and we just let it happen. And then until they're fucking almost dead or something, we finally pull them out after the abuse is done and they're fucked.
Because the foster care system is all kinds of fucked up.
But we have all these people like, I want a children. Like, if we could align that maybe a little bit better and maybe go, let's make this more right and make more judgments on someone who's qualified to be a parent or not, which I don't think is a crazy thing to do. I don't think everyone in this world is entitled to a child. I think you need to be qualified to have a child, just like you need to be qualified to go adopt a fucking dog at the Humane Society. They will turn you down if they don't think you are. But because you can make it in your body, guess what? It's yours. As long as you can prove that you're fucking breathing, it's yours. I think we need to take a little closer look at that, of who gets to take the children home and go, well, that's great. But you need to do this to make it work realistically.
If we were providing good, loving homes for all of the kids who we already have, maybe I'd feel a little bit better about this impending decision, but we're not doing right by the children who are born.
No.
And little white babies that are healthy, they're getting placed and they're in homes, and these little adorable brown and black babies.
Well, and there's plenty of white babies that are not being placed in good places either. There's just as many, if probably more, that are there too, just statistically. I mean, I remember several years ago when I was in Wichita, there was a neighbor of mine who had like a little independent church thing going on. He was asking anybody in the neighborhood who wanted to go caroling, some night, over in an area of town that, you know, was kind of, you know, troubled. And we did it, went around and went to several homes that had many, many foster kids. And there are good foster parents out there. I had a neighbor who was one and they were great. So I'm not against good foster parents, but there's many out there that are there to cash a check. And holy Jesus, I mean, we were at some of these places and it was like a fucking like camp foster almost. And it was shitty conditions. The, you know, quote unquote, parents or guardians were like sitting there smoking up a storm, drinking left and right. And it's like, and the carolers are coming by and it's like, this is what you want to like present to the outside world. You know, like this is what you want to show. Like, you don't want to be like maybe cleaned up a little bit. And they're like, nope, not at all. And these kids are just running around like in stinky diapers and they're not in good condition, but they got like 8 or 10 of these kids and they're cashing a check every month or week because they got all these kids. And it's like, this is not better. This is not better than if we honestly had a government system again that had like orphanages and things of that nature where they could be cared for in a much better way. Same with mental health. If we look at those numbers, if we were to try and match the numbers of beds that we had before we had this mental health crisis in our country where people are all over the fucking place and not being cared for, if you look at the statistical numbers, we would need roughly around 2 million beds. What we have right now, 35,000 across the country. That's how far off we are on this system. And this is a system that broke down. Reagan fucking said, we don't need these things. We don't need all that. And guess what happened? Everybody went everywhere. And this is why you have the mass amount of homelessness. They had kids. They had kids. And you had people that really couldn't handle things and they were giving no mental health help. And it's just a cycle of people that need fucking help. And these are problems that we kind of did have under control a little bit, but then we wanted to pull back and say, no, because yes, the system was not great. Were these facilities in many cases not wonderful? Without a doubt. Could we take that up again and say, let's redo this. Let's do this in a modern day standard. Yes, but we don't. We just kind of let everything roll and just people are crazy. They do this, do that. Society goes into this tailspin and this is the fucking world we live in. Happy holidays, everyone.
I know. It's all messed up.
It is. It is. This is another interesting one. A mid-Dell teacher accused of sending nude photos to a student who then blackmailed her. This is from Midwest City.
The teacher blackmailed the student?
I'm not sure. A former Midwest City middle school teacher now has a warrant out for her arrest after allegedly sending nude photos to a student. Number one, like, what? It takes a little bit of work in education, a lot of work in education, honestly, to get to the standing of being a teacher. At what point does it ever seem right to send nude photos to a student? Like, where does this break off? Where is this ever like, let me do that? That's what could go wrong. According to court documents filed in Oklahoma County, there we go. A teacher, 28-year-old Ivy Renew, allegedly sent naked photos and an explicit video to a 16-year-old student at a Midwest City high school. According to court documents, a 16-year-old student met Renew at the soccer field where he'd practice with his high school team, where Renew was an assistant coach for the middle school team. When police were now said she heard rumors that the student liked her and, quote, wanted to watch her run. When police say she added the student on Snapchat, she began communicating with him and sending multiple nude photos of herself as well as inappropriate videos. In private messages on social media, it's not really a good idea between educators and students, the owner of Focus Social Media Marketing said. According to documents, Renew denied that there had ever been a physical relationship between them, but admitted to sending the photos through Snapchat. Allman says many people believe the app will keep your photos and videos private. Snapchat says things are temporarily and only last for 5 or 10 seconds. You know, they might as well last forever. Allman says you might as well just be taking any picture you put on there and post it to a billboard by your house. Court documents allege a friend of the student who received the photos showed them to him and said the two were supposed to have sex. The police claim he got tired of waiting and decided to blackmail her. According to court documents, Renew ended up spending $120 to the student over three separate days. He had to break up $120 over three separate days. That's good.
But she's a teacher. That's a lot of money.
Now I get that. Police said he wanted to get something out of it, so he asked her for money to not disclose what happened, and told her he had pictures of her that could ruin her career. It's just put somebody in a dangerous situation where someone else can control you mentally like that because they have some hold over your head, said Allman. We reached out to Middell schools. This is according to Fox 25. We've got your back. We reached out to Middell schools, who sent a statement saying that the staff member is no longer employed by them, and they've worked closely with the family and the student. According to the court documents, Renew is now facing felony charges for using technology to engage in communication for sexual prurient interest with a minor, but has not yet been taken into custody.
There you go. Here's a thing to me. Like, you could send naked pictures to, like, anybody.
Yeah.
There's like a million people who would be all about getting naked pictures. Why some 16-year-old kid who is a student?
Why?
Like, what part? Why aren't there bells going off in your head going, this is a really bad idea? Like, what part of that's going to turn out in a positive way for you?
I do not understand.
Like, no one's going to ever find out about this. The kid is 16 and completely trustworthy.
And here's the deal. We're not like in sort of like transitionary phase anymore either. This is not like 70s into the 80s or something where you did have teachers that actually dated students in high school and ended up getting married. That did happen back then. I have friends who the dad, he was a high school teacher. They met at the disco. And she was in high school at the time. And it happened, but that was like 1974. This is not a society where this has like ever been remotely close to an okay thing in the last 40 years. So why the fuck would you think you could even do this? When all we've been filled with is just stories of this being absolute deplorable behavior, never, ever. You don't see any Hallmark movies where fucking DJ Tanner is like, and she ended up with the 16-year-old that she was teaching. You know, it's like.
Yeah, because you end up on the Oxygen channel or ID. Like, because now what you've done is a crime. You're not Hallmark at this point.
No, no. But
I just don't understand that. It's like there's so many guys or girls, whoever you want to send your naked pictures to. There's a zillion people who'd be like, thanks. Why a 16-year-old kid who's a student? Why a 16-year-old kid, period?
And honestly,
I just don't like, I don't get why you don't like, why, especially as a teacher, you signed up for that job. Like, how do you not take that seriously? Like, this is my job.
Yeah.
And maybe you're not teaching that age. Maybe you're teaching fifth graders. I don't give a shit.
What's interesting to me is just what we've been seeing recently in a lot of these stories has, it's not actually been the guy. It's been a lot of women lately, where it's been women, women on women and women on men too, where it's like, this is, it's not, because I think we used to always think, oh, it's the male teacher who does this or that. And statistically, I think it had been, but I think it's almost, I don't know, pretty damn close to 50.
I know, you 50. Hear a lot about it.
Yeah. There's been a lot of it lately. Here's an interesting way. Investigators have released a motive in a deadly shooting in Ozark, Missouri, on the square. I used to go to Ozark, Missouri. They had a lovely Italian restaurant right off the highway that I would go to when I lived in the Branson area. Investigators say an affair led to a shooting of a man on the square in Ozark on Sunday. This is a nice little town square, too. There's some really cool antique stores down there. It's a really peaceful place. So this is kind of interesting. Joe Newbern, 57, of Ozark, died in the shooting. Matthew Damon, 47, of Ozark, faces first-degree murder charges in a case. A Christian County judge has yet to set a bond for Deadman. The shooting happened Saturday near a historic courthouse on the 100 block of West Church Street around 1 p.m. Investigators say Deadman drove his truck to the square to contact his wife. Once he arrived, they say Deadman observed his wife and Newbern in a restaurant. Oh, shit. Investigators say Deadman confronted Newbern, knowing he and his wife were having an affair. Investigators say that this is when Deadman shot Newman 3 times. Was it in the restaurant? Newman died at a Springfield hospital of gunshot wounds. Investigators uncovered a gun used in Deadman's truck. Police arrested Deadman shortly after the shooting. Investigators say Deadman told them that he was a pastor at Heritage Baptist Church in Rogersville. Well, that's nice. The pastor and his wife, it all ended up very happy and or really not so at all.
What the hell?
Yeah. Good times. My microphone just fell off the stand.
The world is so all kinds of effed up.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. That's our stories.
Should be the name of this podcast. The world is all kinds of effed up.
We've already changed this name of the show like 3 times, so we're not doing it anymore.
Okay.
True crime today is what we're sticking with.
You can put it in parentheses.
Yeah, the world is all effed up, which is very true. That's going to wrap up today's episode of the program. I'm going to turn up Shaka Khan over there. Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any episodes of our program, and leave us a review there on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate it. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to True Crime Today.